year's going by fast. Okay, let's look at a nugget this evening. Prayer is life's greatest time saver. Prayer is life's greatest time saver. Amen. So, with that thought in mind, turn with me to in the book of Proverbs. And Father, we thank you, Lord, as we look to your word, that we will receive instruction, Father God. And as we receive the instruction, Father God, we will put it to good use in our life. In Jesus' name, amen. Oh, before I get, there we go. Started Sunday. We'll talk about miracles in American history. And we saw that early in the first one we looked at is that they prayed, or we were still under British control, that these Spaniards were coming to destroy something, and they had a large fleet of 70 some odd ships coming to the colonies to take over, and due to prayer, the prayer was destroy the ships, and that's exactly what God did. There was a big storm out there. Lightning came down. Of course, it hit a couple of ships, and it hit the gunpowder and just blew them all up, and there was over 2,000 deaths there. And so that was one of the miracles. So we're going to look at another miracle. The tensions between Britain's King George II and France's King Louis XV exploded into the First Global War, a seven-year war called the American and French and Indian War. It was sparked by an ambush in 1754 of a French detachment in the Ohio Valley by the British militia led by a 22-year-old Virginian, Colonel George Washington. It spread to every major power in Europe and their colonies in the Caribbean, in India, Philippines, and in Africa. Estimated deaths were 1 million. The 14,000 British troops, or 1,400, pardon me, British troops marched through the Appalachian Mountains to seize a French fort near which is present-day Pittsburgh. One of the drivers was a 21-year-old Daniel Boone. We're going to get all sorts of history here. On July 9th, 1755, they passed through a deeply wooded ravine 8 miles south of the fort when they were ambushed by French regulars, Canadians and Potawatomi, and Ottawa Indians, not accustomed to fighting unless it was in open field. Over 900 British soldiers were annihilated in the Battle of the Wilderness. Colonel George Washington rode back and forth during the battle, delivering orders for General Edward Braddock, the commander-in-chief of the British forces of America. Eventually, Braddock was killed, and every officer on horseback was shot, except Washington. Washington carried Braddock from the field. Braddock's field desk was captured, revealing all the British military plans, enabling the French to surprise and defeat British forces in the Battle of Fort Ossawa, Fort William Henry, Fort Cadrillon. These British losses convinced the Iroquois tribes and the Seneca tribes to switch their allegiance to the French. Before he died, Braddock gave Washington his battle uniform sash, which Washington reportedly carried with him the rest of his life, even while he was commander-in-chief and president. Washington presided at the burial service of General Braddock as a chaplain was wounded. Braddock's body was buried in the middle of the road so to prevent it from being found and desecrated. Shortly thereafter, Writing from Fort Cumberland, George Washington described the battle to his younger brother, John Austin Washington, on July 18, 1755. As I have heard since my arrival at this place, the circumstantial accounts of my death and dying speech, I take this early opportunity of contradicting the first and assure you that I have not yet composed to the latter. But by all powerful dispensations of providence, I have been protected beyond all human probability or expectations, for I had 4 bullets through my coat and 2 horses shot from under me, yet escaped unhurt, although death was leveling my companions and every side of me. It is said that an Indian warrior later declared Washington was born never to be killed by a bullet. I had several 15 fires, lines of fire at him with my rifle, and after all that could not bring him to the ground. That was the miracle of Washington's bullets. Next, we're going to go to the Tea Party. And see what fasting does in this one. Quite an interesting book. Okay. You found the book of Proverbs, I think. Hopefully, yes. Today, one of the leading physical health factors is heart disease. I mean, when I go to the office, doctor's office, everybody's talking about, you know, the old ticker. I mean, you know, as we get older, some people have, you know, okay. Heart conditions include coronary heart disease, high blood pressure, cardiac arrest, congestive heart failure, arrhythmia, and some other type of artery disease. When the parts of a physical heart harden, it's called calcification. Okay, you got what I'm saying. This is where the soft, supple tissues of the heart become hard and brittle. These calcified parts never soften. They stay hard and brittle. So small spots of calcification can be tolerated, but they also can continue to grow, and they become a very serious and dangerous problem. As our physical hearts can calcify, you know what I'm saying? Get all that junk all over it, you know. So can our spiritual hearts. So that's what we're going to look at tonight. We're going to be looking and evaluating the spiritual heart. We'll find out where we're going to be. Title, A Heart Issue. When we think of hard-hearted people, most of us tend to think of the avowed atheist, the communist nations, mockers, scoffers, blasphemers, bigots, and the politically correct, all rejectors of Christ. But if we really want to discover the hardest hearts of all, the one that the Lord despises most, we will look no further than to God's house. Okay. The hardest hearts have always been found among his people. You know, been reading through the Old Testament or reading through the Bible, and he's always said, stiff neck, hard-hearted, you know, so we're... The hardest hearts have always been found among his people. Most Christians hold back something. I can't believe that. That was for another time. God understands my heart. Okay. According to the Bible, the hardness of heart that God most despises has to do with the hearing and the rejecting of his word. So that's where we find Proverbs chapter 29. Looking at verse 1. He that being often reproved hardens his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. From the Amplified it reads, he who being often reproved hardens his neck, which is actually heart, shall suddenly be destroyed and without remedy. Wow. He that is often reproved. Reproved means to have corrective teaching. So he that is often has corrective teaching. And it says, shall suddenly be destroyed without remedy. Without remedy says there is no cure for this. Just like when you get this, when someone's heart valves become hard and brittle, there's no chance for that to change back to being soft and subtle. So that's where our hearts are at this point. The dictionary defines hardness as cold, insensitive, unfeeling, and unwilling. God has made us so that we can harden our hearts to literally shut out all unwanted influences. So God says, okay, I'll give you a hard heart in the area where these things are not supposed to affect you. You can harden your heart against that. Like a certain sin comes up that wants you, you can harden your heart toward that sin. It just bounces off. It can't bring destruction. But because we haven't understood what a hardened heart should do, we have this hardness of heart working against us. The hardness of heart comes as a result of rejecting repeated warnings, pushing aside God's word. Wow. When such occurrences occur, hardness becomes almost impossible to cure. Let's drop back to Proverbs chapter 3 this time. Verse 1, it says, my son, forget not my law, but let thy heart keep my commandments. From the Amplified, my son, forget not my law or teachings, but let your heart keep my commandments. So if we're open to God's word, it's always going to be soft and subtle. But if coming against not receiving God's word, our hearts starts to become hard. Like I said, wow, that's a rough part. Proverbs chapter 5, looking at verse 20. Why wilt thou, my son, be wrapped? Well, that's not the one I want, is it? Oh, great. It's not the one. It's Proverbs 4, 4 and 20. Proverbs 4 and 20. My son, attend to my words, incline thy ears unto my sayings, let them not depart from thy eyes, keep them in the midst of thy heart. So this is a hard issue. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. So to keep hardness out of our heart, we need to keep the word there. And Romans chapter 10, 17. Turning there. It says, everybody. So faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. From the Amplified it says, so faith comes by hearing. What is told and what is heard comes by preaching of the message that came from the lips of Christ, the Messiah himself. So it's the word that puts us over the word that's going to keep our hearts operating properly. Now there's always a controversy about Jesus. You know, and Jesus. Let's turn to the book of Mark at this point. Mark chapter 3. We'll begin with verse 1. That's Mark 3:1. And when he had entered into the synagogue, there was a man there which had a withered hand. And they watched him, whether he would heal him on the Sabbath day, that they might accuse him. And he said unto the man which had the withered hand, stand forth. And he said unto him, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath days, or do evil, to save life or to kill it? But they held their peace. And when they had looked around on them with anger, being grieved of the hardness of their hearts, he said unto them, stretch forth thy hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored whole as the other. And the Pharisees went forth and straightway took counsel with the Herodians against him, how they might destroy him. So we see the hardness of heart. They didn't want to listen to the word. Like I said in the very beginning, we think the atheists and the communists all have hard hearts. Christians have hard hearts because we don't want to listen. You can hear the word but not receive it, so that's showing that we have a hardness there. And we don't want that to continue because having a hard heart puts you in a bad place or puts me in a bad place. Okay, let's look at it. Verse 5 again. And when he had looked around about them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts. The word hardness there is a Greek word porous. It's a name for a type of marble that they had in those days. You know, marble, those of you see marble floors or marble countertops, it's very hard. So he says, their hardness of heart, it just was just like marble. You know, this marble's not pretty, but it's hard. But the word eventually became to use something covered with calluses. Later became known to be covered with calluses. Calluses around their heart caused them to be callous towards God and men. When you have calluses on your heart, the hardness of a heart, you're callous towards what God says and you're callous towards what men say. That's a dangerous place for us to fall into when we become hard-hearted towards God's word, certain areas, you know. There's areas of faith that we want to build up, and we know there's some areas that are lower than others and we need to build up. Well, we could see why some of these places are not built up, because there might be a hardness of heart in those positions. A hardened heart always dulls a person's ability to perceive and to understand. So if we have... here's Jesus ready to heal this individual, and the Pharisees are there, but he sees their hardness of heart. They don't perceive that something is going to be a miracle taking place here, something great is going to take place. They are just hard towards Jesus. They don't want things. Okay? So, let's turn to the book of Ezekiel a moment. Ezekiel chapter 11. That's Ezekiel chapter 11. We look at verse 19 and 20. Here Jesus God says, I will give them one heart, and I will put a new heart, a new spirit within you, and I will take out the stony heart out of their flesh, and I will give them hearts of flesh, that they may walk in my statutes and keep my ordinances and do them, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God. So, when we became born again, God changed us. Glory to God. There was a heart operation to improve our relationship with Him. Thank you, Lord. He gave us a soft heart, an undivided heart, that we might respond to His Word. That's why we've been born again with a new heart, not a stony. He took the stony one out. But, like I said, many Christians all of us have areas, spots in our heart that have the hardness and bitterness in it. You can get to a place where when a person gets to a place where he refuses or she refuses to listen to God's word, I hate to say it. If you were in my position up here, you can almost see some hardness of heart. Because some people are in a sense, you mentioned a scripture, reading a scripture, and it doesn't affect them. What does it say? Hardness of heart comes because of rejection of God's word. So if we're not receiving the word, we are callousifying or becoming hard. So we need. Okay. We should watch. I mean, when it says, David says, I was glad when they said, let's go into the house of the Lord. Why? Because there's worship and singing, and he heard the word. We need to be glad when we come into the house of the Lord. Like I said, Sunday, we need to come singing and leaping and praising God, not yawning and you know, hello. So we've had open heart surgery. And let's now turn to the book of Ephesians. And we're closing in on to the end here. We're going to get out early again. Oops, pardon me. In Ephesians chapter 4, let's look at this. Looking at verse 30, that's Ephesians 4:30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. Wow. Grieving the Holy Spirit is when you stop and you refuse to hear God's word. You lose your sense, your sensitivity to God and to his ways. That means we begin to compromise on his word. We say that something's not true. We say that was for that time only. It doesn't affect the, you know. Time has changed. We live in a new society, and God's word doesn't work in that area. But when we do that, we are getting a hard heart towards God's word. We ought to strive to maintain a tender heart towards God, and to do that, when he speaks his word or we read his word, we need to do exactly what he says to do. I think, oh, that was for yesterday, or, you know, that's impossible to do that. I can't do that. It's impossible to do. That's putting up a hardness of heart. When we refuse to listen and obey, our heart becomes more calloused. A callous is really just a scar tissue that becomes insensitive to feelings. I mean, how many's ever had you got a callus, and sometimes you could take a pin there and you could hit that thing there, and it doesn't bother it. I mean, it's hard. The pin doesn't, you don't feel, you know, you feel something touching it, but it doesn't really strike you like a pin should. Okay. When our heart becomes callous, it loses its sensitivity to the Lord. So let's go to Mark chapter 8 this time. In Mark chapter 8, verse 17. And when Jesus knew it, he said unto them, why reason? Because you have no bread. Perceive ye not, neither understand? Have ye your heart been yet hardened? There's a heart. Having eyes, you see not. Having ears, you hear not. And you do not remember? Here Jesus describes the symptoms of a hard heart. unable to perceive. In other words, you can't distinguish or recognize things. Why? He says, what? Why reason? Because you have no bread? You perceive not? You can't distinguish or recognize it? Neither can you understand. You don't know why or realize what's going on. Then he says, you're unable to see. You can't identify any longer or value something any longer. You're unable to hear. That means you can't receive or pick up things anymore. These are symptoms of a hard heart. And then at the very end of it says, verse 18, and you do not remember. You don't recall what God says to you or what the Word says. I don't remember what. I don't recall that. You can't bring things to mind what is needed at the time. These are symptoms of a hard heart. If we're unable to perceive, unable to understand, unable to see, unable to hear, unable to remember, these are the symptoms of a hardness of heart. So if we're having any of these things, we need to turn around, get things right. When people are hard-hearted towards God, it's like they are spiritually blind and deaf. You know, sensitivity of heart must be examined. What you consider, your heart becomes softened towards. What you consider or receive, your heart becomes softened towards. What you fail to consider, the heart becomes hardened. Well, I don't believe that thing. You know, in a lot of seminaries today, if you were to go to one, a few, they say, well, there was never a virgin birth. Jesus never was crucified or was raised from the dead. So there you see the hardness of heart going from leaders down to those that are to receive. You have the teachers to the students, and the students are learning wrongness, and then they go. Those students become teachers of congregations, and you got everything going wrong. I mean, it's just like referring back to Acts 17:11. We need to search out things correctly and find out who or what is saying this. And if it's wrong, get out of there. Or put it on the shelf and see what happens. We can't shut ourselves off to God's Word. Okay, since we're in Mark, let's go to Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6. Look at verse 52. I'm going to read it from the Amplified. That's Mark chapter 6, 52. For they failed to consider, understand the teaching and the meanings of the miracle of the loaves and the loaves. In fact, their hearts had grown callous or hard and had become dull and had lost the power of understanding. So there we see there. For they had failed to consider or understand. Isn't it one of those things we perceive and understand? The meaning of the miracles of the loaves. Their hearts had grown callous. Wow. The word consider here means to study, ponder, or deliberate, examine, or think upon. So, for they did not study, ponder, or deliberate on the miracle. So their hearts, the disciples' hearts were hard since they didn't focus on the miracle. It wasn't a sin that caused the disciples' hearts to be hardened. They focused on the wrong things. So I will put it in a perspective that I think we all have been in. I've been, sat in church pews and the pastor is saying something, and my mind flutters off to the time, what time it is. Oh, it's getting late. This guy's going long. Or I wonder if they're going to have, you know, if I made the reservation, will they hold my reservation at the restaurant while he's speaking? So what am I doing? I'm not focusing on what the word says. I'm focusing on what I want. So it shows you that I'm hardening my heart to the things of God. No, none of you ever thought that, I know. That you, it's gone overboard. Hey, he's gone 20 minutes over. You know, and then they've got to have communion service after that. And then they'll have the healing line after that. And when am I going to get out of here? So what's going to take place from the time you start thinking that to the time the service is over? You've lost everything that's in there because you're thinking about something. You're not focusing on what the Word of God is telling us. We're wanting what we want or what we think we need. And so there's a hardness building up. Oh. Okay. We need to learn to control our thoughts, and then we can control our actions. Glory to God. Returning to Ephesians. Returning to the book of Ephesians chapter 4 one more time. Ephesians chapter 4, looking at verse 30 again. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. The word grieve means to feel pain or sorrow. Grieve not the Spirit of God. So the question is, I ask myself and I ask you, only you can answer your questions. The question to yourself, does the Lord have reason to be grieved with me? Does the Lord have any reason to be grieved with you because of a hard heart? Are we turning, or I'll put it this way, am I turning a deaf ear to the truth? Well, you know, I don't think that was a fish that swallowed Jonah. No fish could be, that must be a story, you know, one of those sailor stories, you know. So, am I turning a deaf ear to the truth? Two, do I refuse to hear his voice? Well, it's getting late, Lord, I want to get out of here. Or, you know, that scripture was for somebody else, not for me. Because I know that person over there needs it, so I don't need to listen. Don't listen over there. Okay, yeah, kind of. Okay. Have I allowed my heart to become calloused towards the needs of others? Do you see someone's need and say, well, you know, it's a good thing. It's really a good thing, you know. But I, you know, I've already given to this, and you know, I don't need to give to this other thing. So, and the Lord's saying, I need you to give to that person or that ministry. And you say, well, you know, how am I going to stretch my dollar's already stretched out. If I give, I'm not going to have something. I can't get to the movies, or I can't get by that. You know what I'm saying? We get calloused. Okay. Does it bother me that people are headed for hell? Does it bother you when people are headed for hell, that you know that they're headed for hell and you just, well, too bad. Too bad for them, you know. If it doesn't bother us that people are going to hell, we're calloused. Hard-hearted. Do I care that my fellowship with the Lord is not where it ought to be? Do you care that your fellowship with the Lord is not where it ought to be. And if you say, I'm doing pretty good, that's not good enough. So you're becoming calloused, becoming hard-hearted. And finally, does it bother me to know that there's areas in my heart which is growing harder? The question is, does it bother you that there's area in your heart that bothers you? Or, I'm making A's on this side. Maybe this is a D minus or an F, but, this A over here is going to bounce this off. So, I'm good. I'm going to get a passing grade. That's not the way the Lord works. Get that way. Okay. Coming down to the end. I'll tell you, we're getting close here. Sadly, before long, disobedience may creep in and our hearts become divided between pleasing God or pleasing self. Who do we want to please? It's pleasing self, that means there's hardness. Okay. The benefits of understanding what calluses mean, that the hardness of heart in the spiritual realm in a person is that you can reverse the process and use that hardness. Remember, God said, use that hardness against the things that would that affect you. Use that hardness against the devil's will in your life. Learn to use that hardness. Turn that hardness of your heart towards the devil's things and continue to be open to the things that God gives us. Okay? We have the power to determine what our heart accepts or rejects. Laverne Tripp. We've got the power. We've got the power. Some of you don't even know who he is. I'm sorry. Okay. Anybody know what a crocodile is? You're going to wonder about what I'm hitting this with. What is a crocodile? It's one of those ugly looking creatures. Right? So turn with me to the book of Job. Oh, I'm going to get you on this one. Book of Job. And you want to go to the 41st chapter. Job 41. A crocodile. A large reptile that is cold-blooded. A calculating and vicious predator, a man-eater. That's what a crocodile is. It's something to avoid and stay clear of. Wouldn't you say that? I mean, and if there's a crocodile in your way, you wouldn't want to, you avoid it. I mean, when the wife and I went to Florida, and we drove that crocodile, it's called Crocodile Alley. And the Indians, the Indians never gave up. I can't think of the name of the Indians down there. Seminoles, they never gave up. So that was, they had hatch nuts, or what do you want to call them, lean tools, and they had, not barbed wire, but big wire cages, and they had huge crocodiles there, or alligators, or what do you want to call them. Man, they were ugly, And you had to pay something, and if you wanted to feed them, they'd give you something to throw at. But you wonder, as large as those alligators or crocodiles were, and nobody's on the road but you, I mean, if they needed, a little something, they need a new car or something, and hit you over the head and just throw you in the pit there, and you're gone. Like I said, it's a large reptile that's cold-blooded, vicious predator, a man-eater. Job chapter 41, I hope you found it. Verse 24. His heart is a firm as stone, yea, as a piece of millstone. It's talking, if you look at the beginning of 41, the first verse, canst thou draw out a leaven by hook or tongue, a cord? Okay, I often thought that was a whale, but it's talking, some scriptures say it's a crocodile. So it says that a crocodile is cold-blooded. Hard-hearted. When a person becomes hard-hearted, they are like a crocodile. They become vicious. You look at the Pharisees. They were vicious towards anything that Jesus did. They were calculating. They were man-eaters. They wanted to tear up. So they have a heart of stone. Beware, a person who is hard-hearted, they are like a crocodile, cold, calculating, and vicious. We must avoid at any cost becoming hard-hearted to the things of God. So God's word is true. We must accept it. Don't let it slide by. Amen. Crocodile Dundee. So that goes along with maintaining or faith maintenance from Sunday. We all can go home early, and none of us have kids here, so let's all stand. Anybody want prayer beforehand? Okay. Father, we're praising you. We just give you thanks, Lord, that we have a greater understanding of what being a hard-hearted person is like. And Father God, I thank you, Lord, that we can take that hard-heartedness, Father God, that affect our lives in a negative way, Father God. We can use it in a positive way by aiming that hard-heartedness towards the things of the devil. So, Father, we praise you. We just give thanks, Lord, that your Holy Spirit will stir up the gifts that are within us, Father God, that we will maintain, Father God, and love, Father God, your word, Father God. Now, as we go our separate ways, Father God, we praise you. We just give you thanks, Lord, that you give us each a good night's rest for tomorrow's endeavors, Father God, that we are the blessed coming in and going out. In Jesus' name, amen.